The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. The second hour, Pete Thamel joined us during the first hour. His reaction to what happened Saturday night in Atlanta. Also, the coaching carousel, which saw Brent Venables introduced today. And Mario Cristobal at Oklahoma, and Mario Cristobal hired at Miami. We're going to talk to Mike Griffith in just a moment, get his reaction to the weekend and where Georgia goes from here. Also, your phone call is coming up here in just a moment. So, Mike, joining us. We saw Mike the other day in Atlanta. Great to have you back, Mike. So tell us where we are right now in the land of the dogs.
Yeah, it's 14 playoff, and here they are, win, lose. Same for Georgia. You're going to play Michigan down there in the Orange Bowl instead of going to Dallas and playing Cincinnati. And it's a new season for Kirby Smart. He gets a second chance to try to get his offense ready, his defense ready for postseason play after, I guess you'd have to call it a debacle Saturday night, Paul.
So, Mike, a lot of callers are trying to come up with their own take on it. You're pretty close to this program, having covered it for a couple of years. What's your view of what went wrong?
Well, I'll start with a story. In 2017, there was a football team that lost their last game by double digits, their last game of the regular season. And they got outgained, I want to say, by what? Looks like 94 yards. I think Georgia got outgained by 81. They were 3 of 11 on third downs, and Nick Saban did not go to the bench and play this kid named Tua. They lost to Auburn with Jalen Hurts without going to the bench. You plug Alabama in the 2017 playoffs, they make a quarterback change in the final game, and they win it all. Here's Kirby Smart in Georgia, similar situation, didn't go to the bench, and now they get a second chance in the college football playoffs. Can Georgia do what Alabama did in 2017, lose their final game before the playoffs, and then sweep? I think with a quarterback change, my opinion, and I'm not speaking for Kirby Smart, but I think if Georgia makes a quarterback change, they're going to win the national championship. And they might win it with Stetson. But I personally think they have a much better chance with JT Daniels, because JT Daniels can utilize all of the weapons. One of the issues was Stetson threw the ball to Brock Bowers, the tight end, 16 times to one player. That's locking in. The wide receivers combined for 17 targets. You put JT Daniels in there, all of a sudden – you can make better use of George Pickens. You'll do better with your checkdowns. He's a different kind of quarterback. And Dan Mullen talked about that on the SEC Network Saturday night. He said, you put a guy out there into a dropback game.
Okay, Mike, tell us all the question that I've yet to get an answer from. Why didn't he come into the game in the fourth quarter?
I think that Kirby felt comfortable with Stetson Bennett. I think that was the guy that had prepared for the game. That was the game plan.
Was Kirby Smart not watching the same game we were? Because by that point in time, it was obvious. It was evident that Stetson Bennett was not going to get the job done. What about being able to make an adjustment without pondering it for 3 weeks?
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think Kirby was slow on the trigger. I think a lot of people felt like JT should have maybe gone out there and maybe brought some new life. But I don't know what they worked on in practice, Paul. Kirby has complete control. They don't allow media in. He doesn't talk about the offense. And when he's been asked about this, he's not transparent. He deflects the question. He says he has confidence in both of them. And he said that Stetson did a lot of really, really good things.
I'd love to find out what those were.
I think this is kind of a universal thing. But to be fair to Kirby Smart, I don't think he's going to throw Stetson Bennett under the bus the night after the game or the day after the game. And if he's planning a quarterback change, I don't think he wants to announce that to the world. I don't think he wants to announce that to the university. And let's be clear, I think they can beat Michigan with Stetson Bennett, but I don't think they can beat Alabama with Stetson Bennett. And I could be wrong. Kirby likes to tell the story of Stetson Bennett and how he's proven everyone wrong. It's a story that Kirby likes to tell. But he has a five-star quarterback on the bench who's 7-0 at Georgia, who has a pretty good story too.
Mike, do you think there's something underneath all this? Maybe family of JT Daniels and Kirby, maybe JT himself. I mean, there has to be some reason. I mean, I've heard what you've said. I'm not disputing you. You're much closer to it than I am. I just sit here and punch buttons all day. But it just seems unlikely that everything is copacetic, and we never saw JT Daniels in this game.
Yeah, no, I know that you search for reasons, and, you know, and maybe Stetson hypnotized him or something. Or, you know, but I talked to people on the Alabama side, and they said they watched the film, and all they could figure is that Kirby didn't want to make a change because they were winning. I think Kirby Smart genuinely believed that this defense was of championship caliber. I think he bought in that you could still win by playing defense and running the football, even though everybody told him you had to score points, and even though he acknowledged that going into this season. I think once Stetson went in and the defense started holding everybody under 10 points, that he believed he found a formula, and he had to see it to believe it. And now Alabama has shown Kirby Smart, and I think the rest of college football, that you're going to have to score points. Nothing's changed. What we saw during the season, that was a great and historic run by the Georgia defense. But that's over with now. And if we're going to be playing games, indoor facilities like we're seeing Indianapolis and in Dallas, Arlington, you better be ready to score points, because it's going to be a track meet. And the Georgia defense is probably not going to be able to hold Alabama under 17 points. And you're not going to have the luxury of waiting until late in the second quarter to score a touchdown as you did against Florida this year.
Mike Griffith with us. Mike, and I know there's so much left here that Kirby Smart can undo what we saw Saturday night. I hope he does for his sake. I think he's a very good coach. But without knowing what is ahead, what did Saturday night say about Kirby Smart to you?
I think he's loyal to Stetson. I think he's loyal to Stetson Bennett. I think he believed in his game plan. I think he still feels like if they would have executed on defense, that his plan would have worked. If Stetson would have made a few different decisions and different throws, you know, but at some point, you got to look in the mirror. Kirby Smart called it a wake-up call, Paul. And he also said that there were some brutal truths that were revealed. Now, I don't know what brutal truths he was referring to, and I don't know what wake-up call he was referring to, but I wrote it and I've said it. I think it's a wake-up call for Kirby Smart. And I think if he wants his team to be all in and energized and make a championship run, then I think he needs to put a quarterback on the field that they believe in. And I don't think those receivers believe that they can get the ball consistently from Stetson after Saturday night against a defense like Alabama's. That's my opinion. Okay. I could be wrong.
Okay, let's say that you're right. Everything you're saying is right, of course. But how does that answer missing the moment so badly? And you said it the other day. This is not a matter of best two out of three. This is a chance to put the dagger in Alabama's heart. And Georgia and Kirby Smart failed miserably.
Yeah, they were out-schemed, and Alabama did a wonderful job with the game planning. Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy with that performance. I mean, it's hard to believe that's the same Alabama team that didn't score any points for three quarters at Auburn, and they put up 31 points against Georgia in three quarters. Now, part of this, Paul, is that Georgia's, and I've said it on this program before, their secondary has been suspect all year long, but they haven't found, there hasn't been a quarterback that could exploit it the way that Bryce Young did by buying time. That front seven had got to them before those quarterbacks could get to the secondary. And Bryce Young, they met their match. And now that Georgia weakness on defense has been exploited. And it'll be exploited again the next time they play them. They'll score points and they'll get yards. The question is, how does Kirby Smart expect his offense to respond? And does he believe he should do it with a running game and a play-action game and Stetson Bennett? Does he give Stetson Bennett a third chance to play Alabama? Or does he go with JT Daniels, the California gunslinger, who threw for 400 yards in his first outing for Georgia last year?
Well, let's close by talking about this Alabama off the Georgia defense. And you know, you were at Auburn the week before. You saw all of that, and we all know what happened. But what happened to them on Saturday night? What went wrong with this impenetrable defense, this generational defense, the greatest front seven we've ever seen?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, they got exposed. Bryce Young was able to buy time and keep his eyes downfield and exploit that secondary, those cornerbacks, which we said all year were suspect. Four pass interferences in the secondary against Clemson. South Carolina with four plays longer than 30 yards. Tennessee with two plays longer than 50. Alabama receivers were able to get loose. Young was able to buy time. The Alabama offense finally stepped up. Baby Bama grew up. They went from crawling to walking to running to beating Georgia. And you got to give Alabama credit. I think Alabama coach Nick Saban is going to let the Alabama fans talk now. I think he says it's okay. A couple weeks ago, he told them they needed to back off, but now Saban says it's okay. So the Crimson Tide fans are roaring. They believe they're going to win it all. They get to play Cincinnati and Des Ritter in Dallas. And everybody that I'm talking to believes Alabama's going to win. Everybody but those guys over there at Buttsmere Heritage Hall at Georgia. And they believe that they're going to beat Michigan. And they believe that they're going to beat Alabama before it's over.
But Mike, I get football is a crazy game. Let's, you know, save the audience cliches. But after seeing the buildup for this game, knowing what was at stake, all the things we've already discussed here in 11 minutes and 10 seconds, why would anyone believe now that Kirby Smart will get it right against Nick Saban?
That's a great question, and I don't know that he will. I that has not been determined in my mind, but I'll say this. Kirby Smart is very responsive to his players. He's got this leadership committee, and when the players talk, Kirby typically listens. And I think the talk right now is that they want a more explosive offense. And I think Kirby recognizes that he can't ask his defense to try to hold everybody under 10 points or 14 points so that they can, you know, hand the ball
off. How about under 40 points?
What was it against Arkansas? 55 carries and 11 passes. You can't have a 2-to-1 run-pass ratio.
Mike, not to interrupt. I mean, we're now going to, 14th game of the year, and Kirby Smart's running all this by his leadership council. I mean, don't you think that's coming off a little ridiculous to those who...
I don't think Kirby's running. I think the leadership council, I think it's the other way around. You know, look, I think Georgia
So Kirby Smart is letting the leadership council dictate who starts at quarterback at Georgia? I'm confused.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
What are you saying?
Well, you just asked me why I thought Kirby Smart might make a change, and I suggested that if the leadership council and if the Georgia players believe in another quarterback, he might be willing to listen to that. That's what I suggested.
Oh. Listen, there's so many more questions, but I don't think we really can get any more answers.
Listen, I can't figure it out either. Paul, we've been trying to figure this out all year. At some point, when does JT Daniels get another chance? And only Kirby Smart can decide when that's going to be. And what will it take? Probably some film study and probably some feedback from the receivers on his team that came to Georgia to catch passes. That's what I predict will happen. We'll see.
If we're having this conversation either on January 3rd or January 13th and Kirby Smart has failed to win the national championship, and I know I'm asking you a speculative question, but I'm just trying to get ready for these next couple of weeks because I don't know what to make out of him. I don't know what to make out of any of this. I mean, what are we to make out of this perfect season going down the drain?
Well, I think sometimes, Paul, when people get in a habit of doing things and you find success, it's kind of hard to have a catalyst for change when your average victory margin in the SEC is 40-8. I don't know many people that are going to try to break what they're doing and do it different when you've been dominating everybody all season long. You got to have reason for change, Paul. And I think that Alabama and Bryce Young may have triggered reason for change for Kirby Smart. He's not foolish enough to expect different results by doing the same thing. I just don't believe that. I think he makes too much money, and he's been at it too long to think that he's going to trot the same quarterback out there.
But Mikey,
what
does his history tell you in how he dealt with Fromm and others? I mean, do you see anything?
Completely different.
Well, I know they're different, but the result very well may be the same. No national championship.
I don't know. Jake Fromm threw for 300 yards against Alabama with no interceptions in the championship. Jake Fromm was not the reason they lost the title game in 17, and he wasn't the reason they lost to Alabama in 18. This is a different situation. Fromm, they should have never pulled Fromm. The Fields you see now is not the guy. That was a true freshman that didn't know the offense. So let's stop the revisionist history.
I'm not revisionist history. All people that don't follow it like you do, maybe are that close to it, know that Kirby Smart has done this or that and the narrative will be this or that. I'm just trying to figure it all out because I was like you. I had bought in because I'm leaning on people like you to tell me what's going on over there.
Well, part of the reason why I picked Georgia to win, Paul, was because I expected Kirby Smart to be willing to go to the bench with plan B. Because one thing that Georgia has that Alabama doesn't have and has less of now with Mechie out for the playoffs, by the way, is they have options. They've got players. Kirby's got all the pieces to win it all, Paul, and this is why you're asking me this. You're asking me, can he put this together? Because he's got all the pieces to win it. You said it. I've said it. Most people believe it. Can Kirby Smart put the right pieces on the field? Because we know that the right pieces are on the sideline.
Do you believe he can?
I do. I absolutely do. I think Kirby recognizes this is his window to a potential dynasty. Potential. Not saying it's going to happen, but he's got to win the national title to keep that momentum. And I think he recognizes they have got to, if they're not going to knock off Alabama this year, then win. Because this is a young, reloaded Alabama team that Nick Saban has done an incredible job with, that has a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Bryce. You better get him now, because Bama's going to be better next year, and Georgia's going to be reloading on defense and fighting off the Tennessees and the Floridas of the SEC East Division next season.
Mike, thank you. Again, we're not yelling at you. We're just trying to get answers. That's all.
Hey, the volume is turned up loud, Paul. Believe me, things in Athens and the state of Georgia right now is inescapable. Everybody has an opinion on the quarterback. That's where Georgia football's at.
Well done. Mike Griffith joining us from Athens as we will digest everything that he has had to say, plus more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Let's get some more calls. And Daryl is up next in Georgia.
Can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Well, first of all, I like Mike Griffiths a lot, but there's not a quarterback issue at Georgia. There never has been. I mean, if you look at the stats, Paul, I mean, let's see, Bennett was 29-48. Bryce Young was 26-44. Pretty comparable, right? Bryce Young had more yards. The problem in that football game for Georgia was they couldn't get a pressure on the quarterback. That's what they're going to have to think. I'll tell you what, the loss of Adam Anderson, okay, has hurt this team. He was their leading sack. He's still their leading sack guy. Him being out has hurt. But, I mean, Georgia, okay, second half, get down there. They throw the ball down there twice. You got to put the ball in the end zone, man. You got to score touchdowns in both of those drives. You come away with nothing. You throw an interception on one. You end up running out of downs on the other. They score touchdowns there. They don't throw the pick. Then, you know, they win the football game. But this ain't nothing that can't be fixed. They're going to get a second shot. I'm glad that they're going to come in as the underdog the next game. And, you know, they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder, I'm sure. But Bryce Young played a great game. You have got to put that quarterback on his ass to have a chance to beat Alabama. Now, Alabama's got one of their receivers out. That's probably going to, you know, help out a little bit, too. He's out for the year. But, you know, first, Alabama's got to beat Cincinnati. Please do not lose to Cincinnati. If Alabama loses to Cincinnati and we beat Michigan, if we win the national championship, it would be nice. But it ain't going to be. I mean, you know, you got to beat Alabama. I've said that from the get-go.
I've never thought about that. Can you imagine? I mean, Georgia beat Cincinnati for the national championship, but it still feels empty.
It does. It would, absolutely. And I said it from the get-go. I mean, Alabama's still number one until we beat them, okay? I mean, they still are. But it can be done, but you're right. But I don't think Alabama's going to lose to Cincinnati. There's no way they're going to let that happen, okay? No way. But, you know, I mean, give Alabama credit. They did what they needed to do to win the football game. In Georgia, we move the ball on offense. It ain't a quarterback issue. JT Daniels ain't going to make that big of a difference, okay? We just got to score when we get down there. And I tell you something else, okay, Georgia's got to do. Georgia, Paul, is a play-action offense, okay? They need to run the ball for at least 200 yards, okay? That really, when they're playing their type of football. And they didn't do that. They got to run the ball better. But you got to get pressure on that quarterback. Them blitzes, man, have all them blitzes. Get zero sacks.
I wonder, too, Daryl, if Georgia, by playing Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech, just kind of came, you know, lost their mojo.
That probably hurt. Yep, you're right. That probably hurt a little bit the last two games. But here's the deal, Paul. I said the weak link going into the season, and I still believe it's the weak link. is the secondary of Georgia, okay? They depend on the front seven. If the front seven don't play well, you can forget about it. That front seven has got to play well, but that defense, the front seven has played well all year long up to this game. But Alabama came to this game. I also told them on Dog Talk, I said, I'm going to tell you something. That Alabama offensive line, they've heard about how bad they were, okay? They're going to bring it. You better be ready. They're going to bring it. And they did. They brought it. Probably the best game they played all year long on the offensive line. But that was a difference. There ain't nothing that can't be fixed. It's just, you know, we got a month to fix it. So we've got plenty of time.
Well, there's plenty. You're right. There is plenty of time to fix the problems, assuming that Kirby Smart is willing to fix the problems. Augie is up next.
Paul, that last call is like a passenger in a Titanic saying, you know, but for that iceberg, it was a lovely trip.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a beatdown. And, oh, by the way, we're going bowling, Paul. We're going to the Texas Bowl.
Congratulations.
Kansas State. How do you like that? We were going nowhere. We're going to the toilet bowl, but now we're going to the Texas Bowl. Paul, Griffiths was, speaking of toilets, Griffiths was talking a lot of excrement. I mean, you called him on it. But you got to, I mean, Griffiths started this whole thing off back in February. It got louder in the spring. Georgia's the best team. They're coming back with all of this. In the fall, it was basically a coronation of Georgia's year. He's just been Georgia, Georgia, Georgia. You called him today, and he did show up. He was like, you know, Oliver Twist.
Yeah, I'm curious because I've had people who are friends of mine who have said, you know, why were you so tough on Grip? I didn't even feel like I was being tough. I just wanted some answers, and he's the guy that is there. And all of a sudden, it's all about JT Daniels, and I think some of it could have been. But it's not about JT Daniels. It's about Kirby Smart's stubbornness to make a change.
Well, and then when he threw out to you revisionist history, did you get a little repugnant on that? I mean, revisionist history. Come on, Paul.
No, there's nothing. I let that one go because I was. I'm not going to argue every point in the middle of a conversation where we're trying to understand what's going on. But that's just, Mike's the one that created this monster, as you said. I was just trying to find out, you know, why it happened. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if Kirby Smart can't make a decision in the game without going through his leadership council, I mean, where are we right now?
I mean, again, it's almost as like a situation where the head coach is gone. You got an acting coach who doesn't know what to do. So let me go to the team leaders to figure this out. Kirby Smart's the leader of that team. He needs to figure out what he needs to do.
By the way, Nick Saban didn't have any problems when he was in the national championship game changing quarterbacks. He didn't have any problem the next year changing quarterbacks. That's what a great coach does. He makes a decision in the battle, not afterwards after he runs it past his advisors.
Well, so you just brought up the key question. Great coach. And you, Paul, have always taken up for Kirby Smart. When people, and even I have said some things that kind of were disparaging to Kirby, but you always came to his defense. Are you now a little more hesitant to come to his defense today than you were Friday, let's say?
Well, yeah, I am willing to see what happens because it would be foolish to bury this guy when he can still win the national championship. That's why, being as good as they were, they didn't get a mulligan. They were hurt by that loss. And if they don't win, they're going to be hurt even more. But he has an opportunity. I think he's on the clock now in terms of, you know, the elite status. There's no question about that.
But even if they win the national championship, even if they pull it off and they beat Bama again for the first time, will this loss not somehow taint that? I see that it will.
I think Griff was trying to make the point about Alabama, you know, getting blown out by Auburn and coming back. I don't think you tend to remember things like that very well. And in no way would I sit here at this place of all places and say that the SEC title doesn't matter. But it, you know, nobody has ever said in 2017, man, you know, that was a great walk-off by Tua on 4th and 26. But doesn't it kind of hurt a little bit that they didn't win the SEC championship? And let me ask you as an LSU fan, okay, how many times have you gone out and celebrated the 2011 LSU SEC championship?
Well, that's why I don't think it's right that a team has to play another team twice. And that's why I don't think Georgia should have even gotten a shot. But I think Georgia, if they don't beat Bama, they're going to run the risk of becoming a new punchline like Oklahoma,
no, you're,
Notre Dame.
Augie, you're 100% correct. And that's what I was trying to get at from James Carville. Excuse me, Mike Griffith a minute ago. We'll take a break. More to come on the Spin Machine right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Jim is up next.
Paul, I didn't hear you. I didn't know if you were going to let me on again. But, you know, you got this guy, Shannon. I told you about him. He's an excuser. He's an excuse artist. He wants to put out false information against me, which is typical of people that got nothing. He's got nothing. He did attack me on the show. And I know you remember it. He did it about a month ago. He did it more than once. But that's all they got, Paul. They got excuses. They got false propaganda attacks. They got no game. Shannon, you got no game. You're the jackass, you idiot. That's all I got, Paul, but I'm sorry. I just can't take idiots like him, you know?
Thank you, Jim. Larry is up next, speaking of people who are not idiots.
You got that right. Friday, when I called Feinbaum, you remember it pretty well, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about anything else this weekend other than your call.
Yeah, right. No. Man, you know what? And you asked me, why do you think Bama's winning?
Right.
Gonna win. I told you. I told you why. And you didn't. You just act like I was a complete fool, you know.
And Larry, let's revisit that phone call. I said, Larry, what's going to happen? You said, Bama's going to win. I said, why are they going to win? And you said?
Yeah, I know. I said, because they've been to hell and back.
Right. You sure did say that.
I know. I'm just messing with you, Paul.
No, Larry, it doesn't matter how cogent your explanation was. It was correct.
Yeah, and, you know, you said something Sunday that I always listen to you, like on Sundays when the games are over.
Yeah.
And you said something that was really spot on. Hey, you said, yeah, these Bama fans, a lot of them just call in and get people fired and get this one fired. And you're right, but I have never flinched with my team. I let the coaches, Saban, and the coaches take care of that problem.
But you know, Larry, after the A&M game and after the LSU game and other games, I mean, there were a lot of calls right here. We want Pete Golden fired. We want Bill O'Brien fired. We want Doug Marrone fired. And quite frankly, Doug Marrone may have won the SEC championship for Alabama with how he got that line prepared.
I know, and morons. They don't pay no attention to injuries and what we lost in the draft and trying to rebuild the O-line, and we get the center hurt, and then this and that. I pay attention to that, but they don't. All they want is win. Oh, my God, let's fire this. And I get sick of them. They ain't fans. What they are is just morons. They are not fans. When you're a fan, it's like Red Dog. He sticks with his team, brother. He may not, you know, he called in and he took it. And I respect these guys.
Well, see, I think this loss is a little bit different for Kirby Smart because it's like, remember when Alabama lost to LSU in 2011? You know, within 2 weeks, they were already back in it. So you remember a season by how it ends, not what happened on the first weekend in December.
You got that right, and you ain't going to hear me running my yakadoo. I'm just grateful.
Hey, Larry.
Larry,
you worried about Cincinnati at all?
I am. I worry about everybody, Paul. I don't know. I watched that team throw that ball around. My God. Them boys, I mean, they got their own thing going on. And when you take a team and say, oh, man, there ain't no problem, be careful.
Well said, Larry. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Mike in Jacksonville. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Oh, Mike, we're doing great.
Well, Paul, I want to tell you, I'm like this. I really feel Kirby Smart is really afraid of Nick Saban.
He's afraid of Nick Saban?
Yeah. That defense did not play against Alabama the way they played the whole year.
No.
They gave Bryce Young the Heisman Award. They put it in his hand.
You're right. When he gets up there Saturday night, he shouldn't thank his own offensive line. He should thank the Georgia defensive line. Thank them for taking the night off. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have a lot to do. We appreciate you being here, and we are off and running. Another 2.5 hours to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Guests will be upcoming. We've already had Griff and Pete Thamel as we have quite a reaction or an overreaction Monday. Eddie is in New Jersey. Hello, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
Thank you for having me
on your show again.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points on the game. I mean, what that happened was, you know, Georgia never played against a spread offense as good as Alabama's, and you brought the point up today about Bryce Young. The kid is, like, just an outstanding quarterback. And a little bit might have seeped into these kids, the 21, 23-year-old kids. They were going to be in the top four or three or two, whatever, regardless of the outcome of that game. And from being a former coach, the games are played on the field. I know a lot of the so-called experts, you know, they didn't give Alabama a chance. But the bottom line, again, is, these games are played on the field, and you give Nick Saban enough time, he's gonna beat you every day of the week. So that's really all I wanted to say to you. And again, I love your show, and thank you for having me on.
Eddie, thank you. I appreciate your sharing your knowledge as a former coach. Wayne is up next in Georgia. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think the answer to your questions that you were asking Mike Griffith about Kirby Smart has been the questions that every Georgia fan's been asking for the last two or three years. And it's either got to be that he's just so arrogant that he refuses to look at the big picture, or he's inept, which I certainly don't think that's the case. I mean, he's a brilliant mind. Or he's insane because he keeps doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And I just, you know, like many other Georgia fans, are so frustrated because – you know, my mama told me a long time ago, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And Kirby hadn't really shown us anything any different in order to be able to manage really two areas. One is the quarterback position. And sure, you know, Stetson Bennett, I don't have anything against him, but he doesn't have the ability to rise to the occasion. And secondly is, you know, we know that our DBs are suspect and maybe not as athletic as Alabama's, but that doesn't have anything to do with having the wherewithal on the busted coverages that happened during the game. I know he was running, you know, a zone match, but some of those kids weren't even in the same area code that those receivers were, and that's based on coaching. I mean, surely to God, they knew that the zone match they went over for these weeks up to this game, and so I don't have an answer.
Yeah, but Wayne, I wonder, though, I agree with you on that, but to me, Georgia became a sitting duck once they couldn't penetrate Bryce Young, and I'm not knowledgeable enough to understand that, but it's that's the baffling part of the game. I mean, Auburn drove Bryce Young crazy, and so did LSU and even Tennessee and others, and the best defense of them all couldn't lay a hand on this guy.
Exactly, and you would think that as good as of a defensive mind as Kirby is, I'm not taking anything away from him, but you know, sometimes even the greatest minds become so stubborn that they refuse to change and expect a different result.
Exactly, and that's what I was trying to get to with Griffin, and I know a lot of people thought I was being a prosecutor. I'm not, but to me, you can't wait till afterwards to make that determination. And I agree with most of what he said about Jake Fromm, but I don't care what Jake Fromm's statistics were. The narrative about Justin Fields is not going away. And if he rolls the dice again with Stetson Bennett, and let's say he loses to Michigan or to Alabama, he'll never be able to undo that.
And, you know, it's a very good chance that we won't beat Michigan with that type of mentality or that type of strategy.
No, I've heard all the experts, you know, talk about the matchups. By the way, I heard all that Friday ad nauseum, and we were all wrong. So I'm not really paying attention to matchups anymore. I want to see what happens when the game starts.
Right. When the toe hits leather, you know, it's a different story.
So well said. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Stacy in Georgia. Hello, Stacy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Very well.
I have the answer to your question. But
please,
before I do that, Paul, I need to say this. I need you to listen to me, please. Red Dog is so sad. Yeah, it's finally coming to a point where he's humbling himself, and Daryl is just making excuses. And Larry seems to be the only person with common sense today.
Stacy, when Larry from Shelby is the voice of reason, what does that say about the rest of mankind?
Oh, man. Well, Paul, he made sense today, Paul.
He did.
But let me say this, Paul, and I'm going to answer your question. I called you last week, and I told you, I said, Paul, when Nick Saban is your coach, he's going to make some adjustments.
Right.
And you asked me, well, what kind of adjustments is he going to make that he didn't already make? And I said the offensive line starting with the right tackle. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember this call very well.
Yes, sir. And I said, when we lose a player, Bama always reload. You remember that?
Sure.
So let me answer your question, Paul, why he did not put JT Daniels in. Because the outcome would have been the same. I mean, there's no need to take Stetson Bennett out. I mean, why? What is JT Daniels going to come in to do? When Alabama plays up to the Alabama standards, can't nobody stop him but Jesus Christ. That's it. Can't nobody else stop him, Paul. They can't stop him. And somebody said last week, if Georgia didn't win Saturday, when will they win? Well, as long as Nick Saban is there, never. Because he made the proper adjustment with Doug Marrone.
And Stacy, if for some reason they meet again in 4 weeks, 4 weeks from tonight, do you think it will be the same result?
It's going to be the exact same result. The exact same. Paul, did you see Young step back when he threw the touchdown to Mechie? He had so much time, he started pointing. Did you see it?
Yeah. Bryce Young sent me a text before he let go of that ball. Let's take a break. We have 2 hours to go. More reaction and more of your phone call.